Hi, I'm Alex.
I'm Tom, and this week on Flash in the Pan, we're firing up the automatic Romeo Maker. We grew up in a world of online animation, and we're digging you out for your consideration, bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan.
Hi, I'm Tom.
And I'm Alex.
And welcome to another edition of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's the podcast where we scamper up into our great uncle's attic and pull out a dusty shoebox from behind an old mannequin. And we open up the shoebox to find a dial-up modem. And written on that modem is... That got away from me. Anyway,
yeah,
welcome.
Well,
we're going to be talking about three classic Flash animations from the early to mid-2000s that were definitely part of our childhoods. Just a reminder that if you want to watch along with us, which you definitely should, all the links to the videos are included on our website, flashinthepan.com. And also, before we get started, a big thanks and a big counter shout out to Toontown Public Works, which is a really fun podcast where they watch old, and I mean old, animation from like the 1910s to the 1970s that's in the public domain. And it's very fun. And they gave us a shout out on their recent episode. And so we are doing it in reverse.
Yeah.
In return, rather.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you very
Toontown
much.
Public Works. Yeah. And anyone listening to this, if you're at all interested in old-timey animation, then go and check them out. Speaking of less old-timey animation, it's time to get to our first selection for this evening.
Ooh.
And it is one of my favorites. It's called Dad's Home. Dad's Home.
Yeah, I wasn't sure I'd seen it before, but I had. I've definitely seen it before.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it looks, to me, it looks like how I think it feels to be neurotypical, maybe. I'm not sure.
Okay, could you expand on that?
Like, he gets shit done. if he wants to do something, he just fucking does it. He doesn't think about the consequences and spend like 5 minutes being anxious about it before doing it. You know?
So what you're saying is that Dad's Home is an example of prime executive function.
Yes.
Okay, that's...
In the most extreme end of the scale, yes.
That's a pretty fun interpretation of that, I think. See, I was thinking a little more allegorically how this is how the baby boomer generation, you know... Yeah, the white, middle-aged, privileged, middle-class man is able to get away with just about anything as long as he's got a smile on his face and a song in his heart.
You could see it later, yeah. I could see where you would come to that conclusion.
Yeah. I am, of course, mostly being facetious. It's just very fucking
funny. It's
just
very funny,
yeah.
Yes.
One of the things that I love most is that throughout the entire ordeal, the entire adventure of the evening... is that Dad's face doesn't change.
Yeah, no, not really.
It's just this constant rictus grin of gay abandon, you know? You've got to wonder, how bad is work that he comes home like that?
Well, it's either really awful or, like, the best job in the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the two. There's no way of telling.
So the escalation is a big part of it.
It's fantastic.
He starts off just generally trashing the house, giving his children beer.
I like that the child was responsible and was like, no, I'm not drinking this.
Oh, yeah, the daughter's just like, no, I don't want this. And like the mother in like this purple dressing gown just looking worried the entire time, which, fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lots of little touches. Little touches I enjoy. I enjoy that when the doorbell rings, he is scrolling this immense Goodwill Hunting equation on the wall.
Which apparently I think was going to end with E equals MC squared.
Yeah, which... That as someone who did physics all the way to A level, I can tell you that what's on the wall is gibberish.
I mean, no one's gonna fucking fact check. Let's be honest.
You never know.
Well, no, it's not true. It's the internet. Probably even back then, someone was like, "Man, that's not right."
excuse me.
Well, we definitely know his job's not as a physicist then.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Either that or he's the world's worst physicist. Oh. But no one's fired him because he's too frightening.
He might be a sword swallower.
There is that also.
Do you want to remind the people of one of the best moments in the whole thing?
Wait, just fucking reaches into his mouth and pulls out a whole sword.
An entire
not
sword.
Not just the blade. No, the fucking hilt and the handle and fucking everything.
Yeah, this jeweled pommel and everything, yeah. And like, every window gets broken. He harasses his neighbours inadvertently.
Puts out the fire on his head with the cat.
Yes. Like with like a little squeaky squeaky.
Three fucking times.
Yes. Yeah, he's able to teleport using the power of explosions.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a joke lifted directly from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, because that's how Tim the Enchanter gets around.
Yes. The best bit of Holy Grail.
One of the best bits. He's very
that
good,
That was
yeah.
my favourite bit. One of my favourite bits.
Yeah. So, do you think you identify with Dad?
No. But no. I do feel like he is maybe just misunderstood.
So do you think if this dad had existed in, like, 2014 instead of 2004, he would instead be, like, a life coach or something?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that. Because, like, right at the end, he's, like, he's playing a song for everyone. Everyone's having a great time. He wants to share his feelings.
Oh, and what a choice of music. Both of those songs are so good. The second one's from F-Zero.
Yeah.
Is that the Big Blue music, or...?
Oh, wait, no, that is Big Blue. Yeah, that's totally Big Blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
And the previous song is The Reefer Man by Cab Calloway, which I don't know if you've heard before. But you've probably had it just osmose into your
brain.
It's one of the most famous Cab Calloway songs, and Cab Calloway was one of the most famous jazz singers or ragtime singers. I don't know what genre you call him. In the 20s and 30s, he was so big and so fun. You will recognize his voice if you've ever watched any old Fleischer cartoons like Betty Boop and Bimbo and that kind of stuff, because they were often just vehicles for him and his band to perform.
Oh, okay.
To these really weird grown-up animations, and most of his songs, like The Reefer Man, as you can imagine from the title,
yeah.
are about doing all kinds of drugs.
Yeah.
Cab Calloway is the perfect choice for this kind of madcap slapstick bullshit.
It wasn't Big Blue, it was Mute City.
Oh, well.
It wasn't Mute
City. I'm glad we got that on the recording. And, and so we
the whole time
have
I was
to...
like, wait, is it? And I was like playing it in my head like, no, that's not Big Blue, it's
okay.
Blue City.
Well, that's good. That means that we don't have to issue an official retraction later on. Let's learn a little bit more about the guy behind this.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we delve into Flash.
Ah.
Right, so the Dad's Home was made in 2004, uploaded at the end of 2004. Mm-hmm. By a user called SakuPen, and that name will be familiar to a lot of people, even though he only made a few animations and a couple of games. Mm-hmm. They were very, very popular.
Yeah.
And we've actually had requests for a couple of them as well. So
okay,
we'll probably be getting to them in future.
Yeah.
One of the Flash games he made is called Dad Game, and it is a game where you play as Dad, roaming carefree and ridiculously violent through the universe of SakuPen animations. Nowadays, SakuPen goes by Ray Pencil, and he works for Spry Fox, which I was excited by, because Spry Fox, they're a game developer who've made stuff like Steam Birds, but also they made Alpha Bear, which is one of my favorite puzzle games I've ever played on my phone. Yeah, Ray Pencil seems to be doing pretty well for himself.
I'm very glad.
Yeah.
Because that was genuinely, like, really good and really quite well done as well.
Yeah, like, his Twitter feed is, like, just chirpy and enthusiastic about games.
Good.
And like,
that's nice.
Yeah, and like, hey, I bumped into so-and-so at GDC and they were really nice. And that kind of, yeah. Also nice, as you can imagine, are most of the comments. The comments are just, I mean, there are so many bloody comments for this thing. Like,
yeah.
3,500.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And that's just on Newgrounds. I'm sure there are loads more elsewhere.
I'm sure it's been uploaded to YouTube.
Yeah, so we got some examples. The most recent comment at the time of recording that I could find is from January 11th of 2018.
Right.
So that's just 14 years after this came
just
out.
Just a couple months ago.
Yeah. Who rated it five stars. This is CloudyUBoss2123, who said, cool as a puppy.
I mean, puppies are cool.
Puppies are pretty cool. But puppies don't make me think of someone throwing a sword through someone's postbox.
No.
I mean, unless it's a really extreme puppy. If you have pictures of extreme puppies, please send them in. flashinthepancast@gmail.com. So, way back when this was uploaded, there were a few immediate reactions. Virus, with a one for the eye, gave it five stars and said, ha ha ha, that was abso-fucking-lutely the most awesome thing I've ever seen. You have good moral values. Rock solves everything. But seriously, I can watch that over and over, and it's just as funny each time. Ruffle. Good job, I like your style.
I like punctuating the sentence with ruffle.
Yes.
That's good. That's some fucking early 2000s shit.
You want to take the next one?
What is that? Just, yeah, amplified. Is that one word? Wow. XD. This is an awesome movie. I never have I seen so much creative randomness animated that well. Everything fit nicely together. It's just simply put great creative work. P.S. This is Earth's Front Page.
And that's pretty much the consensus. Yeah. Everybody loved it, including the Newgrounds people who, like, it was on the front page for ages.
Yeah.
There were tributes to it. It was big. Dad's Home was very big. Not everyone loved it. Before we get to people who didn't like it, Deragon, who also commented on the day of uploading, said, and I included this comment, you'll see why I included this comment, said, awesome! Woot!
Oh, no.
Rock on the dad! That's an awesome tribute to bald dads everywhere! Sweating smiley face.
Sweating emoji.
Hope you go far, tuggy face. Now, Alex, you'll know why I picked this particular comment, and it's because of the lexicon being used. So, teh, T-E-H, teh, awesome. That was a thing for a while.
The common misspelling of the,
yep.
Which happened so often that people just adopted it as a thing that you would say in conversation.
If I'm right, there was a character in the webcomic Questionable Content, I think it was Questionable Content, who just goes around wearing a t-shirt that says teh on it. I don't know if they still do, but that was the case for a very long time. And of course, Woot, W00T, which is sort of leet speak.
What are the fucking origin? What's the origin of Woot?
I know the origin of Woot.
You do?
Or at least I know what I believe to be the origin of Woot, which is, it's W-O-O-T, or we owned the other team.
Oh,
it's an that expression. Makes sense. It's okay. An expression of victory and joy. Woot!
As with most leet speak, it came from online gaming.
Online gaming, yeah. Not everybody loved this. One thing I like is that most of the 0-star ratings are done by mistake.
Oh,
and so you get lots of comments that say, "Dude, I love this. I laughed so hard." Zero. Stars. Which is always really pleasant, but a couple of people had some feedback. So Lego Man gave it 0 stars, and this was in 2008, so 4 years after it came out. Bad. It made no sense at all, and where was he getting all this stuff? Like the whip! If you make another, please explain the stuff and how the person gets the funny things, because this made no sense. And was, sorry, but very, very bad.
It wasn't a whip, it was a fucking lasso.
Yeah, take that, Lego Man. And Dylan 33 in 2009. So, you know, going back through the archives here, gave it 0.5 star. Rubbish. This was rubbish. The only thing that made me give it 1 star was that it had been drew so well. But I did wish I didn't watch it. P.S. Why did his hair get on fire so much?
He didn't have any fucking hair. His head was just catching fire.
You're genuinely upset by that.
Why is his hair? He didn't have any fucking hair!
Maybe the fire is his hair.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, and his head is coated with the same stuff as matchsticks.
I do. It's been drawn so well, but I do wish I hadn't wasted my time with it.
It's only 3 minutes of your
life. Come on.
Dylan, come on, Dylan.
Dylan.
Honestly. So that was Dad's Home.
That was excellent.
Yeah, that was a great slapstick kick in the pants, yes. I think. I don't know how to segue into the next one, because I haven't seen it. But you have.
Yes.
And this was one of your suggestions from the very start.
It was, right? Because you were like, think of old Flash things you haven't thought about in ages. And I was just like, yeah, the Rockoons.
Rockoons.
And you're like, what?
Right.
Okay.
Here we go then. Wowee.
So you need to get your immediate thoughts on that, because I've seen that a few times.
That's one of the furriest fucking things
I've ever seen
in my life.
It really is. It's incredibly fucking furry.
Oh my goodness. Ah, oh, that was really fun.
Yeah,
though.
It's
that,
good fun. Yeah.
Yeah. The animation was really smooth.
I know.
Frame by frame stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It must have taken forever.
Yeah, it was really cute. I could definitely tell that members of the crowd were just like the fursonas. Friends of the animator or something. Mm. And there were at least a couple of definite sex things in there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure we'll come on to that.
Yeah, poor choice of words, maybe.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You walked right into it. I couldn't not. I couldn't, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
What are your thoughts on rewatching this?
It is exactly how I remember it.
Okay.
It's somehow more intense going back and watching it again.
Intense in what way?
Like you said, it's incredibly, intensely fucking furry.
It's very furry. At one point, the lead singer Raccoon grabs his crotch and throws the horns. It's like, oh, okay, I see what's going on.
The thing is, this now makes me ask a few questions, because I didn't go out of my way looking for that. A tutor at college showed this to the class. We were doing a Flash animation course.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so your tutor either had found it and thought, oh, this is cute.
Fun.
Look at these charming animal folk.
My tutor was serious, like secretly, like
a big furry.
Massively. Yeah.
Wow. As with a lot of the stuff we cover, there are a few little things that date it perfectly.
Yes.
And one of those is
the awesome face.
The awesome face on the drum kit, and then reversed with the raccoon face, which I really enjoyed as a little visual gag.
That's a good joke.
The awesome face was before rage faces, before emojis, the awesome face was just... It was just a really fun smiley, as we called them back then.
You could say... and this, I'm purely saying this to enrage everyone, that
okay.
The awesome face is the original emoji.
You could.
I could say that, and I did.
According to the documentary, The Emoji Movie, that's not technically true.
If you went on Twitter and tweeted the words, "The Emoji Movie is documentary," do you think they would invent a dislike button just for you? I think it's possible. We should try it and see what happens.
But the awesome face with like the open mouth and the eyes up to the side, that just it originated on, I think, Something Awful. It spread to the Chans and so on, and was everywhere for like 2 years.
As with everything that gets popular, it generated, churned out by SA and co-opted by Chan boards,
and
just spread like some kind of horrible disease. That's an awful way of putting it.
Well, they do call it going viral. That just makes sense.
Well, yeah.
Right. Should we learn a little bit
some stuff about the people who...
Yeah.
The person involved.
It's time for some more Flash.
So the Rockoons is created by Tyrrell. Who was also known apparently as Cerberus.
Okay.
This is, I'd like just to say for the record, this is the second fucking time. What episode are we on? Like four?
Five.
Five. In five episodes, I've had to go back to WikiFur.
WikiFur. I mean, the history of internet culture is also the history of furry culture, so that
That's
also
fair.
Makes sense.
So one of the first facts that's listed about Tyrrell on WikiFur is that he used to run a macro furry webcomic named Not Big and Not Clever.
Okay, that's fucking adorable. For those listeners who blissfully are unaware, macro is a fascination and or fetish or just an affinity for like giants.
Mm-hmm.
And like giantesses, like imagine Godzilla or Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, yeah, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what macro means, because yeah. Macro means big.
Sadly, shut down in 2006. It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Tyrell was guest of honor at Megaplex 12.
Okay.
Which was assumedly a convention somewhere.
Yes.
I didn't think enough to look up where that convention is hosted.
Well, which is a shame, because now we've just
what state it's in. We've just
tanked our chances of being guests of honor at the next
one. Dang it. A follow-up to Raccoons was made in 2008, simply titled Raccoons 2.
This time it's personal. Boom! Boom!
Oh, God.
Oh, actually, wait. Before you continue, I just realized that he definitely didn't give up that macro thing, because there are at least two instances of very macro associated stuff in the Raccoons cartoon we just watched. One of them, there's like a giant green fox thing who breathes fire and incinerates someone.
And also there's the
and also there are some bugs being really graphically stepped on. I was okay, that's a bit. It's like,
oh, it's a bit on the nose.
It's like when you see an artist's gallery and like, you know, there are pictures that are just like, you know, perfectly innocuous, except there's an awful lot of detail put into the way that the mouth is drawn, and it's like, okay,
okay. I think I see what's going on.
Yes,
here.
Yes, exactly.
The last submission, sadly, from Tyrell on Newgrounds was 8 years ago.
Oof.
Entitled Catan. K-A-T-A-N. He is still making lots of art and going to furry conventions and fursuiting and having a great time, I would assume.
Is he still animating?
I don't know. Not from what I can see. I couldn't get access to his Fur Affinity account because I couldn't remember the password to my old account.
Okay, that's fair.
So he might be, but I don't know.
TBC.
It's possible.
Tyrell, if you're listening, then please write into the show, flashinthepancast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And how you doing? How you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you go on his Twitter, which is Tyrellus, T-I-R-R-E-L-O-U-S.
Do they need to know his Twitter thing?
Okay. If you want to see like the art stuff he's made recently, it's on there.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's some slightly not safe for work stuff on there. It's not massively not safe for work, but it's you probably shouldn't look at it at work.
Okay.
Because maybe someone's going to ask him questions. So the comments for this were fucking choice.
Oh, the comments, yes.
I don't know if you heard me laughing.
I didn't. Yeah.
I laughed really hard. Like, it's the first fucking comment I broke down.
Okay.
We'll get to it. A comment left by Erica, and they said, "Sorry, Tyler, but shame on you. Why Burger King?"
Is that it? Is that the comment?
That's the comment.
Wow, that's a whole... Sorry, my brain is immediately conjuring up the full feature film in which Tyler and Erica had some kind of altercation at a Burger King.
And the Raccoons are somehow involved.
Yeah, wow. Some Miami Mike, I won't forgive you for what you did at Dragon Con kind of stuff right there.
Oh, fuck. Yes. There are a few good and not so good comments left by users going by Anonymous One, which are just anonymous users.
Okay.
One comment by an anonymous user was just Aero Smith.
I mean, do you want to talk about the song itself a bit?
It's the song Fever by Aerosmith.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's also nice that he picked an Aerosmith song that wasn't like
a really widely known
one.
Like,
yeah. And also one that's good.
Hmm.
Come at me, Aerosmith fans.
And another comment by a different anonymous user, which is just, "Jeepers, I'm a fairy."
Is that how you responded when you had that? Oh, jeepers.
I don't remember. I couldn't say. Probably not.
The year is 2005. The location, your browser window. As the picture slowly loads, Jeepers. Oh no.
And then finally, this was the thing that fucking got me. Okay. So, a user called Furreal.
Furreal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Said, "Rock on raccoons, love ya." And then immediately afterwards, "They are all so hot."
Sure, why not?
And to me, that smacks of that user forgot to log out of their account before making a second comment.
Oh, right.
Oops. I mean, what? I mean, yeah. I guess they're hot or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They're not really my type.
I just thought it was funny. Yeah. I just scrolled down, the first thing I saw was, "They are all so hot." And I was like...
Well, yeah. If it's something on the internet, then there is someone who will find it attractive.
Someone wants to fuck it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Someone wants to fuck it. The internet story. Mm-hmm. I desperately hope that nobody wants to fuck what's in our final and feature presentation.
Oh.
Because strap in, folks. We are going on a long and dangerous journey way back to the wastes of 2001. You asked for it. You begged for it. No, really.
No, yeah.
And we are finally...
Be careful what you fucking wish for.
And we are going to put ourselves through the entirety of the demented cartoon movie.
"This dark here, so we can only see shadows. Now it seems as though we have found the bubblefish. We are close now, when we shine the light on it." Oh, crap.
I feel like I have aged 25 years.
Well, just 25.
Ah, that was interminable.
Yeah. It's not quite as completely unintelligible as Orphan House.
Really? You preferred this to Orphan House?
There was, I could kind of understand what was going on.
Okay.
Kind of. It was still completely and utterly disjointed.
Yes.
In every way possible, and probably on purpose. But it's also, it went on longer than Orphan House did.
It went on much longer than Orphan House did, yes. And especially back in the day, half an hour...
That's a long time.
...is a very long time for to sit and watch a Flash animation.
Because, yeah, most Flash animations are like a minute, 2 minutes? Like,
yeah, five minutes average, maybe? Yeah.
Even now, people complain you make longer videos. Yes. Sometimes.
So, I didn't hate it. Even though I haven't watched it since I was maybe 14. You know, I haven't seen this since I was half the age I am now.
Mm.
And you know what? Some of it is still funny.
Some of it is still... Yeah, I didn't hate it either. I didn't dislike it as much. I did not dislike Orphan House. It just didn't do anything for me.
You definitely didn't like Orphan House.
I didn't dislike it.
Oh, okay. You were just thoroughly nonplussed.
Yeah.
But for this, you were plussed?
I was trying to get why it was so popular, Orphan House. Why is Orphan House, why is this such a big deal? Mm-hmm. This, I can kind of just see why.
Okay.
Because there's, the repeat jokes, it's constantly just,
drilling into your head.
Drilling, but yeah.
Remember the kamikaze watermelon from the previous scene? He's back.
He's back.
But now, even more.
But that's the kind of thing that makes you remember something, is something being repeated over and over again.
Yeah, it's like writing a pop song.
Makes an impression, although Orphan House did that as well.
Yes, Joe's here.
That, yeah.
Okay, so for the Demented Cartoon Movie, two things came to mind and stuck, right? The first thing is, fuck me, this guy loves Monty Python.
Yeah, immediately I was like... When it's it had the beginning of the thing.
Especially Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
At the beginning, and then hang on, no, the beginning of the thing's been lost due to incompetence.
Yep.
And then
the credit.
Playing the intro credits again, that's very...
With the flashing lights, by the way, and we're going to include this on the website, obviously, but massive epilepsy warning. And also, probably don't watch this while wearing headphones, because the explosions are mixed very loud. It's not just that. It's the smaller things that he's cribbed from Monty Python as well, right? The constant fourth wall breaking. Mm. The fact that that almost every sketch, because they are basic little sketches, blends into the next. There are very rarely hard cuts between sketches, so much as A sketch will end, and then like a car will go past in the background, and then we now follow that car into the next sketch.
Yeah.
Like that was something that Monty Python's Flying Circus and Spike Milligan's Q5 before it sort of helped pioneer.
Yeah.
And was used by sketch comics forever. You know, like 2001, what? This would be in a post Mr. Show world. You know, Mr. Show used this all the time.
Yeah.
Fast Show did it. Mm. You know, like
yeah, yeah.
There were all of the, yeah, in a weird way, the Defending Cartoon movie sits at the end, at the time, of a long history of experimental sketch comedy.
Mm.
And, like a lot of sketch comedy pioneers, it's pretty hit and miss.
Yeah, some of it's incredible, and then a lot of it's like, okay, come on. Okay.
Yeah, but the other thing that came to mind, and especially during the interminable Let's Go to Mars sequence, during which you looked at me as if you were dying, like as if you'd been given some horrible news, like you were going to pause the video, turn to me and say, "I got the test results back.
I'm going to die.
It's not good news."
But then, no, it was like. The fifth time in that sketch, and I was like, that was when I was like, oh, fucking God. And then, like, the sixth time, at some point, like, the sixth or seventh time, it was funny.
It won you around again.
Yeah. Because of how many fucking times they'd done it.
Yeah.
It was because, like, the very first attempt was just they flew into the wall.
Yes.
And then they would make more and more progress up to Mars, and then they got into Mars and just flew into the same wall with a different background.
Yes.
Which is what was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like... So the second thing that came to mind, and especially during that scene, but also during the whole thing, was fucking audacity. Right?
Yeah.
It is incredibly bold to make, and like, as I was saying to Alex while we were watching, back in the day, back in 2001, back in the early 2000s, we weren't watching this with a timestamp or a progress bar at the bottom. We clicked play, and we didn't know how long this would be unless we'd been warned already.
This subject came up because I said the words, "How much of this is left?"
About five minutes into it.
Yeah.
the audacity of taking your audience and holding them there and holding their attention and forcing them to pay attention as best you can for 30 solid minutes while you bombard them with joke after joke after joke after joke and repeated joke after repeated joke after repeated joke is immensely audacious. And I can't not respect him for that, because at every moment of the movie, and some of it's just garbage, right? Like some of it is just tiresome.
It is, yeah.
and you just want it to be over. But at every point in the film, you can tell he is trying something.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And the thing that it reminded me most of, and you might disagree with me, but what particularly the Journey to Mars segment, was Space Ghost chasing the ant.
You know what? I had that exact same thought.
Really?
I had the same thought earlier on when there was an ant appeared.
Yes.
And he's like, wait, that's not an ant. And I thought of that scene. I was like, that really reminds me of that. But yeah, I can see that. Because, I mean, that's one thing Space Ghost very famously did.
Yeah.
Because they had that one really fucking long, drawn-out sequence where Space Ghost followed an ant.
For
10 minutes.
Yeah, with Bailey cutting away, and it's just him threatening the ant's family as he slowly pursues the ant across hills and dales and craters and underwater. And this came from a similar place of braggadocio, almost, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't not respect that.
Yeah, definitely.
So this generated a lot of viral memes. What at the time were just in-jokes, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the Zeke Boogie Doo, right? So oldtimealbinoblacksheep.com had as its background a tiled image which was just lines from famous Flash animations that had been written out. And one of them was Zeke Boogie Doo. And that was in the background. That was
wow.
That was literally part of the wallpaper of Flash animation.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. When we were growing up. Yeah.
It was up there with classics like My Spoon's Too Big.
Oh fuck, yeah.
Yeah. And all that kind of stuff. So Zeke Boogie Doo was one of them, right? And the Kamikaze Watermelon, which I am certain that I shared at least one message board with someone with the username Kamikaze Watermelon.
Probably.
And I
it's very
probably,
likely.
You
yeah.
probably did too.
Probably. Or somebody referenced it and I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And I thought that person just made it up, but they didn't.
No, they didn't. Yeah, so you never grew up with
Never saw a demented cartoon movie. This is literally the first time I've seen it. Ever.
Had you heard of it before? Were you aware of it somewhere on the
Maybe?
Horizon?
Someone might have mentioned it a long time ago.
Yeah. Back in the puppet times.
Yeah. Yeah, someone might, it might have come up in an instant message with someone at some point or a forum discussion. I have no memory of the demented cartoon movie at all.
Do you think it would have influenced you if you had seen this?
Well, no, I'd seen other shit like it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd seen Monty Python.
Yes.
So, and I'd seen other stuff that's similar to it. It would have left, like, I probably would have gotten a lot more of the jokes of that people might be making at the time, but I'm not sure how much of an impression it would have made.
Giving a first impression to you as a grown-up, like, you were laughing.
I did laugh. Like, no, like, again, the rocket thing, like, because it was just so ridiculous that you did it that many times. And like you said, they had the fucking audacity to have, like, the seventh time they just flew into the same wall in a different fucking background. And is kind of laughing kind of out of, like, a kind of out of despair. But also because I thought it was genuinely funny.
Laughter as an emotional outburst.
Yeah, but it's genuinely funny that someone could be sat there, thinking back, watching it, no idea how much of this is left. Just like, let's go to Mars. And they finally fucking get there and fly into the wall. Imagine how you must have felt.
Watching you watch this reminded me a lot of the torture scene in Casino Royale. Right? Like, Daniel Craig as James Bond is stripped naked, tied to a wicker chair, and is having his genitals smacked around with a knotted rope. And at one point, he just bursts out laughing in defiance of the person holding him captive. And that's kind of what you would do.
Well, less extreme scale, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, there was also the cannon.
Oh,
genuinely appreciated that because that was kind of like that was like you were like being deprived of a punchline.
Yes, there's a lot of misdirection.
Yeah, it was just misdirection's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love misdirection, and like there's just this cannon there, and people keep standing in front of it, and you're like, it's gonna
blow their head off.
But something else comes along,
and
like gets rid of the character, and then eventually the cannon just fucking after nothing's happened, the cannon just fucking fires.
Yes,
for no reason.
Yeah,
and it's fucking.
It's kind of weird how for something that is so grotesquely long, right? And I mean that in the most visceral sense of grotesque, where it becomes a beast, a monster of sorts, right? Maybe in 1,000 years you'll find characters from the demented cartoon movie carved into the sides of cathedrals or something. Despite the length, the actual comic timing within scenes is pretty sharp.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like some of the jokes are very tight, which I think, you know what? I think if it weren't so long as a production, it would not let us appreciate the really solid total 4 minutes within it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because, yeah. You come to appreciate the stuff as actually good because of everything else that surrounds it.
Yeah, it's like watching the Super Bowl just for the adverts.
Yeah.
But you don't know when the adverts are going to be on.
They'll just come on as a surprise. You have to watch the American football.
That's a surprise.
Right in the middle. And then it cuts away from the football.
So instead of like...
They don't tell you, it just...
So instead of, like, rewarding you for eating all your broccoli with an ice cream, it's like you're eating a plate of broccoli. It's a really big plate of broccoli, but occasionally, there'll be, like, an M&M in the pile of broccoli.
Yeah.
And you savour that M&M, but then it just makes the rest of the broccoli feel even more broccoli. So, we've reacted to to the Demented Cartoon
Movie. How did the internet react?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Brian Kendall.
Oh, of course, yeah.
As we delve into Flash!
Ah.
So, there's not that much about Brian Kendall online. He's kept a pretty low profile. He seems pretty embarrassed about having one of the most influential early Flash cartoons. On his website, he says, quote, unflattering minor 2000s era internet memes. Which I think is pretty fair.
Yeah.
Nowadays, he makes software for Mac OS, which you can find on his website. And also he does electronic music, which is not bad.
Cool.
And he's on SoundCloud, so look him up. And on his website, he briefly talked about The Flash in a paragraph. I don't know when it was published, but yeah, he said, the cartoon has been around on the internet for a while now, and it has a lot of fans. Understand that I have kind of a love-hate relationship with it. I like it because it's basically my sense of humor in a nutshell, at least while I was in high school. I made the movie for myself. There was never really any intent to please anyone else. I really only made it to please me. I still find this movie funny to this day. The hate part of the relationship comes because this thing is horribly animated. There's no artistic integrity whatsoever. Granted, that's true with most Flash animations, but this one has it in spades. That's the sort of thing that you can tolerate back when you're in high school, maybe even when you're not. But my standards have evolved past that now. He continues saying, every time I watch this movie, I laugh at it, but I cry a little bit on the inside. Bracket, not true. Because of what it could be if I ever put real effort into it. Someday, far away, I might just reanimate this movie from scratch and make it something better than it ever has been before.
Jesus.
But don't hold your breath. In fact, it's not at all that likely that I will do that, because honestly, if I was going to spend a really long time animating something, because making good animation takes a really long time, then I have better, cooler things to make than another demented cartoon movie. And he closes out by saying, also, I'm not going to make a sequel. There isn't any more material. It won't happen ever. There will be more goofy movies that are maybe similar, but nothing else.
Yeah, I understand where he's coming from, because, like, as someone who makes really long-form videos for YouTube, I've had a couple instances where I've just made something really short and put not all that much effort into it, or less effort than I would put into something usually.
Yeah.
And then, like, it gets way, way bigger than anything I actually spent any time on at all. It is frustrating. It is frustrating to be like, that's my legacy.
It's
that
the angst
stupid of fucking thing that I spent, like, 10 seconds on.
Yeah. Right, so, time for some comments.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, you guessed it, it's an albino black sheep, and so the comments are not great. So I went back to the start of the comments threads, which are still 9 years old, so this is 8 years after this came out.
Right, okay.
But the comments are still pretty telling. A guest says, oh man, this was funny when we were 12, huh? Then another guest says, not having fun.
No, he said, not having fun.
Yes.
Axeles said, OMG, I watched all of it, I have no life. Lindsay, you have a twisted mind.
Who's Lindsay?
Dunno. Another guest user said, first part is just spam. You don't understand, apparently.
He would take that as a compliment.
Probably would.
You know, spam, Monty Python.
Yeah, probably.
Am I right? Am I right?
But as it continues on, it makes a lot more sense as you go along. I still LOL at every time an H-bomb is involved. Sometimes I piss myself so hard just lolling.
And who can...
Who, yeah.
Who here has not pissed themselves so hard just lolling? Yeah, the YouTube upload has plenty of comments, and they're not as loving. There are a couple in particular. Marbook says, the early 2000s were a lawless wasteland.
True.
Which is pretty,
yeah,
true,
pretty true
of internet culture.
Yeah.
Like, it was a wild west where anyone could be anything.
Yeah.
Sort of.
You kind of.
Bagel Boy said, remind me again why anyone, including myself, thought this was so funny back in the day. If anything, it drags immensely and is extremely repetitive. Tonguey face. Imagine watching this when it first came out and not being, like, 11.
It probably feels a bit like watching children's television when you have a child, I'd imagine.
Huh. Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was the ASDF movie before it was the ASDF movie. I could see that.
Yeah, ASDF movie is something we might get to in future. And
did anyone stick through this whole thing?
Yeah, Chloe Kay said, did anyone stick through this whole thing?
Multiple times. And so, multiple times.
Finner Oystein said, multiple times. I've watched this as a child when it came out in the 2000s. Wow. So that was the Demented Cartoon Movie.
I've been enlightened.
You've been enlightened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were funny jokes in 2001.
Oh, yeah, at least a couple.
At least one or two.
Right. Right, shall we step into our post box?
Yeah.
You don't step into a post box.
No, well, I mean, you could try. You probably get your foot in there. Yeah,
and then you get a sword through your foot. Boom, we've come full circle! So, first of all, friend of the show Xander, or Xander, I don't know, wrote in suggesting that we look at some of the stuff coming out of Japan's 2-channel.
Yeah.
In the 2000s, which and has a lot of really interesting suggestions for Flash stuff that we're definitely going to get to, I think. Because some of them are pretty impressive. Also, someone called Lee left us a comment on our website saying, I would have never thought that a sequel to The End of the World made in 2018 would be something that we needed. But no, we kind of did.
Yeah, yeah.
This is referring to last episode, of course, which if you haven't heard, you should, because it's a doozy. Lee continues, anyway, I almost forgot how important these stupid-ass videos were to my adolescence, despite being a little bit before my time. He also says that this podcast is weirdly resonating. So, yeah, says we should keep it up.
That's great. I'm glad to have resonated.
Yeah. And Lee, just like Xander, and quite a few of you have also left us plenty of suggestions. We've been adding them to the... We've been adding quite a few to the
list. We've looked at a lot of them and gone, oh my fucking god, yes, absolutely, and put them on the list.
Yeah, so thank you all for the nostalgia rushes and the glimmers of memory, which we really appreciate.
Yeah.
If you have any suggestions or comments, feedback, pictures of cool puppies... What? Pictures of cool puppies, or just, you know, things you think we might enjoy, please send them in to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And if you want to contact us on social media, Alex, where can people find you and your stuff?
I'm at Dex01 on Twitter, at my YouTube channel. My main YouTube channel is youtube.com/VNDLP. And also I make music too, alexvalentine.bandcamp.com.
Nice. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins, that's at Gertrude PRKNS. And I also run the joke Twitter account at nonarticles, which is papers I'll never write. As we mentioned before, you can check out all the videos we talked about, as well as our other episodes, by visiting flashinthepancast.com, where you can leave us a comment. And, this has been Flash in the Pan, and until next time, remember that, jeepers, I'm a furry!
Blam this piece of crap.
Flash in the Pan!